It's one of the first group of Psalms collectively known as the Psalms of Ascent. It's really Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. You know, there's some debate on exactly what that means, but most likely these are a group of songs that were sung by pilgrims on their journey from outlying areas into Jerusalem to worship at the temple. And there's a sense in which this is a physical ascent. You know, they're traveling up the steps of the temple, physically moving upward. But I think there's also a sense in which this is a spiritual ascent. They're bringing themselves upward to the place where God is. And so essentially, I mean, these Psalms of Ascent are the road trip Psalms of the Israelites. And, you know, we need to understand that their journey wasn't always an easy one. You know, they're not stopping at gas stations for candy and snacks on the way. And so when this psalm opens with a question from the psalmist, you'll see here in verse 1, he says, "From where does my help come?" You know, he's saying, as I'm on this physical, spiritual journey, who's going to help me when things become difficult? How am I going to be able to make it? And, you know, before we get to the psalmist's answer and really ultimately the point of this passage, I just want to stop and ask you all to think, can you relate to this question? Have you looked at the circumstances of your life and thought, you know, who's going to help me through these challenges? Maybe it's a challenge at school. It's a disagreement with one of your friends or your siblings. Maybe it's a season of doubt, of personal doubt. You know, whatever it may be, the reality is we all need help. Right? And so here in Psalm 121, you know, our eyes, just as the eyes of the psalmist, have to be directed towards the one who's able to provide that help. Right? He says in verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. So he's directing his sight line upward, right? It's a reminder almost for the psalmist that he's kind of almost answering his own question. And he says in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is a psalm of confidence. This is a psalm of confidence. And so as the psalmist surveys the landscape around him, he realizes how huge the mountains are. He's affirmed that the same God who created those mountains, who created the heaven and the earth, everything around him, is the same one who's able to help him in this time of trouble. And honestly, students, the reality is that the same is true for you. As we walk through the journey of our life, we have to realize that God is watching over us every step of the way. And when danger and difficulty comes, we can be assured that God sees our struggles and he's able to keep us. He's able to watch over us. He's able to guard our lives. And so in Psalm 121, I want us to see tonight three assurances that give us confidence to look to the Lord for help throughout life's journey. We're going to see three assurances that give us confidence to look to the Lord for help throughout life's journey. Really, three assurances that demonstrate our help truly does come from the Lord. And so as we continue reading in this psalm, can somebody read Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4? Yeah, right here.
Verses 3 and 4?
Yep.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
Excellent. We'll see candy at the end, but thank you. You know, so when we travel on vacation, we're not really usually worried about the condition of the roads and the bridges and infrastructure. But we have to understand, again, this psalm is written to people who are traveling in a very different way than we travel. No cars, no trains, no airplanes. And I think this helps us kind of understand the psalmist's worry here in verse 3. When he says, he will not let your foot be moved. Right? The Israelites are traveling through the desert towards Jerusalem, and they would certainly be concerned with the path that they chose. Solid footing is essential to keep them from injury, delay, or even further peril. Right, we've all seen videos of people who are hiking so close to the edge of the mountain, and we can just see one simple slip could be disastrous. And that's the conditions that they're walking in. But notice, it's not careful planning or agility or sheer luck that keeps the psalmist safe, but rather the guiding hand of God. Right, there is an assurance that on their journey, God will provide sure footing and safe passage for them. As the psalmist repeats numerous times, he will keep them. Watch for that word as we continue through this passage, the word keep, right? Or maybe we might rather prefer to read that as guard. He will guard them, or he will watch over them. Yes, the Israelite journey into Jerusalem would have been overlooked by God every step of the way, not just some of the time, but all the time. You see, the psalmist, he notes here, He who keeps you will not slumber. Right? And even further in verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You see, God is not like us in a number of ways, but this passage is emphasizing that unlike us, God doesn't need to sleep. Right? God's not limited in the sense that he needs to recharge his batteries at the end of the day. No, to the contrary, God is always vigilant to watch over his people, seeing all things and being ready to act should their foot lose its ground, slip, and begin to fall. Right? Actually, it's really only the false idols in the Old Testament who are mocked for their need to sleep. We see Elijah in 1 Kings, he does this, speaking of the pagan deity Baal. In 1 Kings 18:27, it says, and at noon Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. Right, but our God, the one true God, the God of this passage, he doesn't sleep. Right? He's always watching over his people. Now, as I was reading through this, I was reminded my son was recently in the hospital for an overnight appointment, and he was getting a procedure done where he had a bunch of sensors on him, and he had to be monitored for 24 hours. And so in our room, we move all our stuff in, and you can see from the ceiling these cameras mounted right in his room, pointed down at the bed, just, you know, for their benefit to record anything unusual that may happen. And it was a little unsettling. I drew the short straw and stayed overnight, and it was kind of weird to know that someone was always watching. They weren't watching me. They were watching him, of course. But, you know, it was even weird when I met the person who was doing the watching on the other end, taking notes, and she was quite nice. You know, and all that person really could do is just watch. They could see, they could take notes, and, you know, that's really all that it was. And at the end of their shift, she clocked out, went home, got in bed, which is exactly what I was doing on an uncomfortable hospital bed. But I say this to remind you, students, this is not how it is with God. He's not someone sitting on the other end of a camera simply taking notes about our life. He has no need to slumber or sleep as if he's unable to intervene should we need help. You know, the fact is that God is always watching over us, never pausing, and this should be a confidence that we can turn to him in times of trouble throughout our life. You know, I recognize that, you know, maybe even now some of you are dealing with these kinds of circumstances. And for some of you, it may seem like you're going through them all on your own. It may seem like there is nobody who can help you. Right? Maybe none of your classmates are going through the same things. Or maybe your siblings, they don't really understand the difficulty that you're walking through. And I want to offer to that person two encouragements from these verses. First would just be, understand that God is not unaware of your struggles. He sees you. Right? Remember the words of the psalmist. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. God's never distracted from what's going on in our lives. And second, we need to understand that God is able to provide that sure footing for us. Again, remember the words of the psalmist here. He will not let your foot be moved. Right? God will steady our steps as we walk through the difficulties of our life. Right? We can be assured that he will provide exactly what we need to continue on through our journey. And even if this situation isn't one that you're in now, it will be in the future, right? That's kind of one of the inevitabilities of life, is that eventually we will have to walk through these seasons of struggle and trial and difficulty, right? We need to know when those moments come that we're not walking alone, right? We have to be assured that God perceives our struggles. But the psalmist continues. Can somebody read Psalm 121, verses 5 and 6? Yes, here.
Psalm 121, 5 and 6?
Yes.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
Yes, thank you. And so this second assurance, I think I might have missed our first assurance here. The second assurance here is assurance number 2. God graciously provides our refuge. Assurance number 2. We can be assured that God graciously provides our refuge. Right, once again, we see this refrain, the Lord is your keeper. Right, if one thing is clear from this psalm, it's that it is the assurance that God intends to guard and to keep watch over his people. Right, again, this journey from people coming from the outlying areas of Jerusalem was one that involved traveling through wilderness, even the desert. It was a lengthy journey for many, and it involved a number of different kinds of danger. Right, it's kind of amusing. How many people's cars have sunroofs on them? I've never really understood. I don't know why our cars have to have them, but some people love them. I don't really get it. But it's kind of funny to think that that's a feature of our car, where we can pull back a shade and we can let the sun in. We're intentionally letting in the heat and the light from the sun into our vehicles as we travel. But for the pilgrim, for the Israelite traveling, the sun is one of the major antagonists of their journey, right? They would have done anything to get out from underneath the intense glare of the sun beating down on them, right? It would only be by the shade of a tent or a tree or some other structure that they would be able to escape the sun. But look at what the psalmist says in verse 5, the description. He says, "The Lord is the shade, the Lord is your shade on your right hand." Right, the psalmist, he's using this poetic language and emphasizing that just as shade provides refuge from the oppression of the sun and the desert heat, so too does God provide refuge for his people. And we don't want to think that just because it says the shade on your right hand, the rest of the body is left out in the sun. Rather, this language is to know that God provides protection exactly where it's needed. Right, and so just as we saw in verses 3 and 4, that God perceives our struggles, that he never sleeps, he sees what we're walking through. So too now do we see in verses 5 and 6 that he's able to provide refuge and deliverance from those trials. And I think it's helpful to see sort of the sphere in which this is provided in verse 6. He says, "The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." And I think we're all familiar with the power of the sun and its effects, for example, on our skin. As you can see, I have very pale skin, and so I'm very familiar with being sunburned, especially as a child. Basically always sunburned whenever I went outside. Right, so we're familiar with how powerful the sun can be. But what about the moon? Right, this psalmist says he's protecting from the moon by night. Right, on the one hand, nighttime is certainly a dangerous time to be out and about. There were the darkness serving as cover for wild animals or for people seeking to do harm. But I think this phrase ultimately is helping us to understand that God is able to provide refuge and deliverance at all hours of the day, from the rising to the setting of the sun. Right? Whatever celestial body is in the sky, whether the sun or the moon, God is able to provide protection for his people when that's happening. Right? I always find it interesting when we experience a storm with somebody who's not from the Midwest, right? Because many of you probably already know, you've seen your parents whenever there's inclement weather, even tornado sirens may be going off. Where does everybody go? They go out to their front porch and they look out. And even when I do that, I can see my neighbors doing the exact same thing, right? That's the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be going down to our basements. We're supposed to be seeking refuge from the wind shaking trees and the rain pouring down. And yet we don't usually do that, right? And so for the Israelites traveling through the wilderness under the scorching heat of the sun, they should be turning for shelter. Right, but we need to ask ourselves, when we encounter this hardship or difficulty, where are we turning? Right, are we so quick to forget the principle of the psalm that God is able to provide the shade on our right hand, that he's able to protect us from the strike of the sun? Because when we walk through these seasons of difficulty, if you're not looking to God for provision, where are you seeking refuge? Are you hoping that maybe you can just take care of all these things on your own? You know, who are you counting on to provide safety and security to ultimately bring you through these difficult seasons and struggles? Because the psalmist makes clear that there's really only one who's able to provide refuge from the dangers and trials of life. Right? When we walk through these seasons of sun in our life, it's God who provides the shade. And we would do well to remember that and to know that we can call out to him. We can call to him in prayer as we face the intensity of these trials. Right, we need to remember that God graciously provides our refuge. But I think there's one last assurance as we conclude this passage. Can somebody finish this out? Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8. Yes.
7 and 8?
Yep. Excellent. Thank you. And so from this passage here, we're going to see assurance number 3. God certainly preserves our life. God certainly preserves our life. Right, this final assurance we have in verses 7 and 8 is sort of the that's almost the culmination of sorts of this passage, the top of the crescendo here. And we've seen, again, I asked you to keep an eye on that word keep. We see in verse 3, it says, he who keeps you. Verse 4, he who keeps you. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you, and also he will keep. Verse 8, the Lord will keep. It's again and again and again. But keep us from what? Or rather, guard us from what? Right? And this is where we're starting to see that final answer here that kind of encompasses the spiritual heart almost of this passage. In verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Right? As we've seen, as we've kind of walked through this passage from beginning to end, I kind of hope you've noticed sort of the body language of this passage. We start in verse 1 with the eyes, lifting our eyes up to the hills. Then in verse 3, we have the security of our foot, keeping our feet from stumbling. In verse 5, we have the shade on our right hand. But as we arrive at these last two verses, verses 7 and 8, we sort of have the sum of all of those pieces. When he says life here, you'll protect your life, or he will keep your life, this is really talking about the whole person. Every aspect, both external, internal, this is what the Lord is keeping. He's keeping you. And so as this final reiteration here, again, the psalmist explains the scope of this preservation in verse 8. He says, the Lord will keep you, will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Right? Again, we're seeing these kind of two extremes. We have the going out and we have the coming in. Right? Everything happens in between those two things, right? It encompasses the whole. Right? There is no expiration on the Lord's preservation of our life. It is now, yes, but it continues without end. Right? The people of God can be assured that those who are truly his will be kept by him forever. You know, my wife and I recently we got a new car. We got a minivan, and it's sweet. Minivans are cool now. And the vehicle manufacturer, you know, they provide you with a warranty, of course, where they'll pay for repairs for a certain length of time, and you know that eventually expires, and then you're kind of, it's no longer providing protection for you. But you know, the dealership we purchased from, they extend the warranty. They make it this lifetime warranty, which I mean is great as long as it works, right? So now the coverage extends for the life of the car. And so in a similar way, you know, God has provided his people with this lifetime warranty of protection from this passage, as it says, from all evil, right? But I think, you know, we need to understand the truth of this passage with two things in view. First, we need to understand that there is an evil we need protection from greater than physical danger or hardship or trial. Because, of course, the pilgrims in this passage ascending to Jerusalem, of course they wanted to be kept safe from unsteady ground, the heat of the sun, the dangers of the night. And God very much is able to protect them and to protect us from those things. But we must understand that there is a greater evil that we desperately need to be kept from. And we need to be kept from the evil of sin. Right? This evil is so dangerous, not because it makes us physically stumble and fall or gives us a painful sunburn, but because it separates us from God. If we think back to the garden, and we think of Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God, eating from the tree, sin came into the world and put distance between God and man. Right? No longer are we able to follow God's commands perfectly on our own. But God, for his own glory, sent his Son into the world to live the perfect life that we could never live, to die the death that we deserved, so that we might be reconciled to him if we would put our trust in him to save us from our sin, to save us from this evil, from all evil. And Susan, I have to say, if you haven't done that, if you haven't put your trust in Jesus Christ alone, today can be that day. Today has to be that day. But I think the second point is this. For those who do trust in Jesus, God will preserve them, as the psalmist says, from this time forth forevermore. Right? I think this is why the Apostle Paul is able to say in Philippians 1, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The glorious reality is that when you become a part of God's family, he will never let you go. He makes good on his promise to keep you from all evil. And this doesn't mean that you're going to live this carefree, cushy life. But what it does mean is that you will be equipped to face the challenges of life, knowing that it is God ultimately who guards you, who keeps you from falling into the depths of evil. And so as we close tonight, I hope that this psalm is an encouragement for all of you, as it was for this pilgrim traveling towards Jerusalem. You know, a pastor that I know very well, he referred to this psalm as travel assurance. I think we're all very familiar with travel with insurance, even travel insurance. We have it on our cars, on our homes, even on our own lives. It's something you get to make sure you're protected when things don't go as planned. And this passage, it isn't insurance, but rather it's assurance, because it is certain. Right? As we walk through the journey of our lives, God is with you. God will keep you. He never takes time off. He always provides exactly what you need. And further, once he's brought you under his watch, he'll never let you go. And so students, travel assured from this time forth and forevermore. And pray with me. Lord, again, we are just so grateful for your word here in Psalm 121. Father, we know that our life is not free from danger, from trial, from difficulty, from circumstances that we cannot bear on our own. And yet, Lord, we are encouraged that you have provided and promised to protect us, to watch over us, to keep us as we journey through our life. And Father, I pray that this would be an encouragement to all of us, that we would remember this truth as we walk through those seasons, to lean into you, to know, God, that you are protecting and providing for us. And Father, again, we're just so grateful for this ministry, and I just pray that as we go out this evening, you would help this truth to resonate in our hearts and minds, and that we might serve you with our lives. Again, Lord, we're so grateful for all these things. We pray them in your name. Amen.